I invite you to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, page 839 in your red pew Bibles. Anybody ever get good news when you totally didn't expect it? Totally didn't expect it. I'm not talking about like, you know, you're in a situation and you're hoping for good news, and then you may or may not get it, but it's just totally out of the blue. Like if you get a card in the mail, and it's, oh, wow, somebody sent me a card, and then there's a gift card in there. It's like, whoa, you know, great, good news, that's great. Well, this morning, you may not be expecting it, but I've got good news for you here this morning. I've got good news here this morning. You may just have come here out of duty and obligation, and it's just like, hey, this is just what we do on a Sunday morning, or it's, you know, my Sunday, well, let's just go to church. We haven't been in a while. Let's go. And, you know, but I tell you what, I've got good news for you here this morning, okay? And it may or may not surprise you. I'm hoping that it surprises you. But this has got good news, okay? Did you get that yet? I'm talking about good news, all right? So, Luke chapter 8, let's pray before we jump in. Father, as we dive into your word and open it up and just let it sink into our lives, Lord, we pray that you would illumine us, that you would open up our eyes to see the truths of your scripture, the truths of your word, the truths of Jesus, even the truth about ourselves, and that we might change and become more like Jesus Christ. That's our prayer here this morning. And we ask these things in his name. Amen. Luke chapter 8. It says, after this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news about the kingdom of God. There it is. Okay, we're going to hear it this morning. So I don't know what you expect to hear, what you expect to read, what you even, you know, just like, okay, I'll put up with another Greg sermon for 25 minutes. All right. Hey, listen, in that, there's going to be good news. So be looking for the good news. Okay, are we on track? Are we tracking yet, right? All right. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household. Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. Now, notice how Jesus again is always breaking barriers here, right? I mean, this is a big deal here. This is not normal for a rabbi to do this, but normally when we think, oh, it's just Jesus and his 12 disciples, no, there were some other people traveling with him, including women who supported his ministry. So Jesus breaking barriers again, all right? Verse 4, while a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than what was sown. And when he had said this, he called out, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. His disciples asked him what this parable meant. And he said, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see. Though hearing, they may not understand. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the very word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. I think there are probably just two types of soil that are represented in this place today. Jesus mentions four types of soil, but probably the first two are not here, right? The first seed in the path are Jesus describes as unbelievers, who had the word of God taken away. So they are probably not here. If that is you and you're here, man, I am glad that you're here. If you're watching, I'm glad you're watching, because and I pray that you would connect with God in some way. The second type is those who Jesus describes who have been believers for a while, but they have fallen away because of trials and tribulations. Well, you're probably not in here either. Again, if that is you and you're here, I'm so glad that you're here, and I pray that you will connect with God as well. And that leaves just two types of people here that Jesus is talking about that applies to us that are in here, and that is the seed that fell among the thorns, which Jesus describes in verse 14 as fruit that hasn't matured. We might call them an immature believer. The last type is the good soil, the mature Christian who produces a good crop for the kingdom of God. But a good question for us this morning is this: how do you go about defining what a good crop looks like, right? What does that look like in a person? Now, again, we want to remind ourselves that Jesus is not talking here about somebody who's going to heaven, you know, or somebody who goes to church all the time. That's not what Jesus is talking about. Instead, Jesus is making a distinction between a mature believer and an immature believer. And in verse 14, he describes that immature believer whose life is choked out by life's worries and riches and pleasures. We might think that it'd be, you know, someone who's always worried and concerned about something. Okay, I'm not talking about people in some way that has an anxiety problem. I'm talking about someone that is always worried and concerned, whether that's politics or the economy or the challenges of life. You know, I always have to deal with this, or I got another trip to the doctor, how is that going to turn out? Or they're worried about their security. You know, what's going to happen to me in the future? And so they're worried about, you know, that's why he says they're continually pursuing wealth. Or somebody who's always focused on, he talks about pleasure in there, that their life just revolves around always going about doing fun things, right? Satisfying their desires, satisfying their pleasures. Jesus says this is not a mature believer. But a mature Christian, in verse 15, is someone who produces a good crop in the kingdom of God, someone with a noble and a good heart, he says. And with this description, I couldn't help but think what was fresh on my mind is in the past week we've had the funeral of former President Jimmy Carter, who by all accounts is someone that lived a noble and has a noble and a good heart. Now, you can argue about his politics and his decision as a president, and I get all that, but it's hard to argue with how he lived his life as a follower of Jesus. We can be proud of Jimmy Carter. He was a good Baptist. He was one of us. He was a part of the, you know, Cooperative Baptist Fellowship, all right? So we kind of relate to him in that sense. The guy's teaching Sunday school in his 90s. That's awesome. Active for Habitat for Humanity. He used his position and his influence to do good around the world, eradicating disease and peacemaking. You know, when Jesus says, blessed be the peacemakers, he took that seriously and went around the world as an advocate for advancing human rights and social justice. I think this is a good guy with a good and noble heart who produced a crop 100 times what was sown. I think that's a good example for him. I certainly looked up to Jimmy Carter. I read an article this week by a guy by the name of Mike Glenn. He's a former pastor. It's an interesting title. It caught my mind, caught my eye. And it said this: we can't start living until we plan our funeral. He said this, because there's two things that we know. He said, we all know we're going to die, and then there's going to be a judgment. And so he says this, spend some time at the beginning of this new year thinking about your deathbed. How many of us are thinking about our deathbeds? How will you die? Will you celebrate a life well lived or regretting a life of missed opportunities? Who will stand around you at your deathbed? What do you have to do in your life so that those people are there when you're dying? So here's the question, he says, that we all need to answer at the beginning of this new year. What do I have to do now so I crawl into my deathbed with no regrets? So I will arrive at the end of my days with joy and gratitude. Whatever that is, he says, start doing it now. When we sit down to make this list, we're surprised at how many things we're doing that aren't on the list. We have meetings for organizations that are nice to be a part of, but aren't necessary to our successful living. There are relationships that take enormous time and attention, but don't add anything to our happiness. We watch programs that only end up killing time. Did you catch that? He says. Why would we do anything that kills time? To our shame and ultimate regret, we do that way too much. The first step in living well, he says, is to stop doing all those things that keep us from living well. Before we can say yes to the life we want, we have to say no to everything else. What most of us need to do in our attics, closets, and garages, we need to do to our souls as well. All of it needs to be decluttered, he says. You see, this is why Jesus came with good news this morning. He comes to show us how to declutter our souls and to become mature Christians, productive for his kingdom, and to experience the abundant life. So how do we get there? How do we grow? How do we become mature? How do we produce a good crop for God's kingdom? Well, I think Jesus lays it out for us in this scripture here that I just like to call a good news plan, P-L-A-N, for maturity in 2025. And the first thing is this, in verse 8, when Jesus calls out, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. The first one is this, we need to pay attention to what Jesus is saying. I remember a phrase from my youth, and I'm sure you have heard it too. Your mom probably said it as well. I swear, what I tell you goes in one ear and out the other, right? I've had, on more than one occasion, I've received an email or a text from Diana that says, did you take the soup out of the freezer? What soup are you talking about? I left you a note on the counter. Oh, didn't see it. Was that for me? Right? I don't remember a note. You know what? I think that's the same thing that Jesus could say to us. Right? Did you see my note? What do you mean? Did you see my note? He's trying to get our attention. And too often we find ourselves too busy
Or our mind is on less important things, that we miss his note. I think this is the biggest issue for us as believers, that we just end up taking Jesus for granted. We just end up taking him for granted, all right? Because a lot of us have been raised that the most important thing is that you accept Jesus into your heart, and that so that when you die, you go to heaven. And that's the most important thing. That's what we're taught. That's the most important thing. You know, you die, you go to heaven. And so we do that. And so then, okay. So then we just sit back. And we kind of ignore the rest of the things that Jesus says. We stop paying attention because we've taken the care of the most important thing, we think. Right? You know, it's kind of like, if you go to the airport early, you ever been there early? Like they tell you to get there early, and then you're early, and you're waiting like 2.5 hours before your flight leaves, and you're sitting in the concourse area, trying not to be bored, but you're bored. You're reading, you're looking at your phone, you're napping or whatever. And constantly, time and time again, you have these announcements that come over the PA, right? You know, for all those people going to Detroit, flight 119, blah, 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 blah. And it just goes on and on and on, you know. And it's just like, after a while, after an hour, you're not paying attention. You're just like, you know, you're just not paying attention anymore. You have zoned out, you know. But wouldn't it be cool if one of those announcements said, Mr. Greg Wissinger, would you come forward, please? Mr. Greg Wissinger, if you're out there, please come forward, because we can get you on an earlier flight, get you home. Or, oh, by the way, Mr. Greg Wissinger, if you come forward, there's a family that wants to sit together, and so something has opened up in first class. You know, if they were saying things like that, if I knew that that sort of good news was being said, you know, I would be clued in to what's going on. Here's the thing. We need to understand that these words and the teachings of Jesus are good news for us. It is good news for us. It's not meant to restrict our life and to make our life miserable, that we suffer down here and then, oh, one day we'll be released and we'll get to go to heaven. These words of Jesus free us up. So let's pay attention and get as much of these words of Jesus into our lives as possible. Pay attention to what Jesus is saying. And then number two is this. You want to lean in to Jesus' sayings. Lean in. Jesus tells us parables. The disciples are like, hey, we don't get it. What are you talking about? Right? And so what do? Hey, man, what's that mean? They ask Jesus what that means. And Jesus' response in verse 10 is kind of odd. It's kind of surprising. We wouldn't expect this from Jesus. He says, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand. He's actually quoting the prophet Isaiah there. So what is Jesus? It's just like he's giving out some secret information to a select few. And if you're one of the lucky ones, whoo, you know, and if not, too bad, you know. It's just this, that as Jesus begins to share about the kingdom of God, he knows that so many people are distracted and not paying attention to him. And so Jesus is saying this, that if you are interested in him, if you are interested in God and God's world and God's kingdom, then you lean in a little bit and pursue that, and if you do, you will understand and learn more truths about God's kingdom. If not, then you just kind of say, I don't get it, you know, then Jesus says, okay, fine. Here's the thing about that, is that God doesn't force himself on anybody. He doesn't force himself on anybody. He offers invitations. If we pursue the invitation and lean in, we're going to understand more. So how do we lean in? Well, we just do what the disciples did there, right? We go to Jesus for clarification. In other words, when we read something, we take time to stop and think, about what's being said. Ponder a little bit. Spend some time in quiet with these words of Jesus and think about and ask the question, well, what does this mean for my life and my life situation, whatever I'm going through right now? You see, this is how the Holy Spirit works. We've got God's Spirit within us, and when we lean into the Word of God, the Spirit's kind of like, hey, they're interested. Let's work with them. Okay, this is what's going on. And so when the Spirit moves, he will bring ideas and thoughts to our mind of what this scripture means for us and how we can apply our lives to it. For example, Jesus says crazy things like, love your enemies. You know, which we just kind of go, you know, we read that, okay, that's nice, and that's way up here, and that's, you know, I can't do that, and... But if we lean into it and ponder it and wrestle, what does this mean for me? I saw an interesting quote on Facebook this week, Jason, if you would put up there. It said this, when you learn how to sit at the table with your Judas, you'll understand the love of Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus lived what he taught, and he set a really, really high bar. And even our first reaction to that high bar is to just blow it off and just say, well, that's for more spiritual people, or I'm not there right now. But instead, let's lean into that and begin to ask questions and ponder, and we'll understand more, and it will change us. In verse 15, as Jesus is describing mature believers, he said, it is one with a noble and good heart who hear the word and retain it. The word retain there means to hold it fast. The best way to hold fast the words of Jesus is to put them into practice. To put the words of Jesus into practice. So number three is this. We act on what Jesus has shown you. You act on what Jesus has shown you. When the Holy Spirit brings those ideas and those thoughts into our mind, we'll go ahead and follow through and act on them. Yeah, it's going to be challenging. A lot of times it's going to be challenging. It may be something as simple as, oh, I need to contact that person. I need to send that person a card. Or it may be, you know what, I need to change my lifestyle. I need to develop a new habit in my life. Remember, it's not just enough to just to know the words of Jesus, or just to think about it. It's not just enough to think about it. We need to put it into practice. Matthew chapter 7, when Jesus finished up the Sermon on the Mount, here's what he said. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. It did not fall away in times of trials and tribulations like the seed in that rocky soil. Its life wasn't choked out by worries and stresses and the cares of life and worthless pursuits, but experienced the fruitfulness of the kingdom of God in the abundant life of Jesus. Finally, in verse 15, Jesus says, a crop is produced by persevering. Here's number four, is that we never give up doing this. Never give up. We continue for the rest of our life paying attention to the words of Jesus, leaning in and acting upon what the Spirit shows us. This is how we continue to grow. This is what leads to us being a mature believer. And we do it through times of testing and times of challenge, times of doubt and dryness. Whenever we feel the blahs, you feel the blahs in your Christianity, you feel when God's a million miles away, we keep doing it. Because Jesus tells us this is the key. This is the key to producing a good crop and experiencing the abundant life that he has for us. I think this is good news. We had a party for Kara. Kara celebrated a party last week. It was her
4-year cancerversary, as she called it, you know, dealing with cancer for 4 years and still being here. So we had a party. She had wanted to throw a party last week. And so Diana tells me, hey, go buy some strawberries or buy some fruit. We got some fruit, go buy some fruit. So I bought some strawberries. When I bought these strawberries, I'll be honest, they didn't look good, but I bought them anyhow because we needed fruit, right? So I bought them and I took them home. And you know what a good strawberry looks like, all right? Good strawberry, deep red. You can open it, tastes good. You open it up, you can smell it, right? A good strawberry, you can smell. Well, the strawberries that I bought weren't overripe. You know, the overripe strawberries, you turn over and they're sticking to the bottom, that sort of thing. I didn't have those. The strawberries that I bought were underripe. They were immature. They had been picked too early. And so they had a lot of white to them. You know, you've seen those. Very, yeah, you see looks on your face. You're like, going, very, why did you buy them, right? I mean, you're telling me, right? Very unappealing, right? And in fact, Diana, she kept them, didn't put them out for the party, but she kept them, and actually she cut the tops off, and it was amazing. I looked at one of those strawberries, and she cut the top off, and it was all white. Now, just a very unappealing, bland, you know, can imagine eating it, wouldn't taste like anything. But she says, I'm going to save them, and we'll throw them into a smoothie where the taste doesn't matter. It can be masked by other things. You know, at least we can still have some, you know, we'll save it that way, you know. It was just, you know, just, but blah, you know, ugly looking strawberry. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a bland, immature follower of Jesus. I don't want to be that. I don't want to be someone who is not producing a good crop for the kingdom. The good news is Jesus says that we don't have to be. We don't have to be. There's something more that we can experience. We can be productive people for God's kingdom, and he shows us how right here. Would you bow your heads, please? And I'm going to give you some time of silence as I normally do. And you know, we have New Year's resolutions, but I think every time that we meet and study the Word of God, we should have weekly worship resolutions, that when God speaks to us, it's an opportunity to change. It's an opportunity to change something in our life, to become more like Jesus. And so I'm just going to ask you, what change is God directing you to make to become a more mature Christian, so that you can produce fruit for the kingdom? Follow-up question is this: how will you go about doing that? How will you go about making that change? Father God, in this upcoming year, we pray that we would pay more attention to the words of Jesus. We pray that we would take time and build time into our lives and into our schedule to lean in to what Jesus
is speaking to us so that we may understand the truths of Scripture and live it out. Lord, we pray that you would give us strength and courage to act out these changes. Lord, so much of life is a rut. Lord, break us out of that rut to more align with the life and character of your Son, Jesus. And Lord, would you help us to persevere through the challenges? Lord, we thank you for this community of believers. Would we be able to have the freedom to share with one another and to show grace to one another as we embark on this path of becoming fruitful in your kingdom? We ask these things in the name of the one who is doing a good work in us, our Savior and Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Amen.